This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3513 for Wednesday the 19th of January 2022. Today's show is entitled, HP9HNT and PAR7 Canon SOTA, Summits on the Air. It is hosted by Binny, and is about 43 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, Summits on the Air is the combination of mountain climbing and amateur radio.
Welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. That's an episode which is part of the series on ham radio. And I'm Benny, or HP9HNT, or Hotel Bravo 9 Hotel November Tango. And with me is Ken. And since you've got two call signs, I won't mention your call sign and let you introduce yourself.
I'll go with PS7 Ken, K-E-N. And I am here to assist you recording this show.
That's perfect. Great. Thank you. So, and the thing we're going to talk about is SOTA, which is short for Summits on the Air, which is basically a form to play ham radio. And of course, when you talk about summits and mountains, then what do? You get someone who lives in the Netherlands to talk to you and ask the questions because they've got no clue. Is this correct, Ken?
It's completely, first of all, what is a mountain?
Okay. But I looked up whether, I mean, to play Summits on the Air, the first thing you need, you got this correct, you need summits. And I looked up whether there
so when you say summits on the air, I thought that was like a, you know, a summit where there's like a meeting, a summit of VU advisors or something. But you actually mean the tops of mountains.
Yes, exactly. And even hills qualify. I looked up whether you have any mountains or hills that qualify in the Netherlands, and actually there are two summits you can do to play SOTA in the Netherlands.
One is the on-ramp to the A1.
All I did is look up the SOTA reference. I didn't look up the names because the names were in Dutch and I'm not very good at Dutch. So
no problem. I once joked with my brother, admittedly we had a few pints at the time, that when Dutch people leave the Netherlands, you know, there's they get altitude sickness and they have oxygen tanks on the on the side of the roads when they go up the on-ramp to a motorway.
You mean like other people use oxygen tanks when they go below sea level, and people from the Netherlands use oxygen tank when they go above sea level?
So, in his defense, it was late. We had many times. It was after lockdown.
Yeah. Fair enough. Okay, so
Summits on the Air. So what's this deal? You basically do ham radio from the top of a mountain, is it? Climb a mountain and make contacts. Is that the plan?
Exactly. That's exactly the point. You bring your equipment in your backpack or whatever and climb a mountain and then set up your equipment and make connections. But you don't have the connections don't have to be to someone who's also on a mountaintop, because this would be a bothersome. So they're basically I'll get in the details right away a little bit. Right. There are basically two types to play SOTA, and you can do both. For example, today I wasn't very well, so I didn't climb a mountain, so I was a chaser. And there are so-called activators and there are so-called chasers. An activator is the person who actually climbs a mountain and tries to contact someone from the mountaintop. And a chaser is someone who sits at home or wherever, brings his hand radio to a walk or something, and answers the call.
They're calling, yeah, exactly, yeah. Go for it.
Yeah, and that's basically about all you do. You can use different modes to do this. A lot of the smaller mountain peaks are done on the 2 meters and 70 centimeters band over FM frequency modulation. But you can also bring a whole shortwave station to the mountaintop. They're quite small shortwave stations designed for this, and do single sideband, or you can even do CW, which is Morse code. Yeah, or you could do one of the modern digital ways to communicate, which would be like something like FT8. Well, it's not very popular to do this, but some people, because you need, of course, you also need a computer, and you also have to carry a computer. But some people like to do this because they don't like to speak another language than what they would speak on VHF or UHF.
Yeah. Okay, very good. So can you tell me some of the history about it, please?
Yes. I think the idea of Summits in the Air was quite old. It existed a couple of years before someone actually, and I forgot all the names and I forgot to write them down, but I think that's boring anyway. You can look them up on the websites I'll post in the show notes. But the idea existed a couple of years before. It was actually launched on the 2nd of March 2002 in England and Wales, and Scotland followed soon after, not too long. And it was, interestingly, it was from the beginning designed to be a form of ham radio game, or whatever you want to call this, that was based on the internet. So there was always, it was always based on a database where you would enter your entries, your activator entries or your chaser entries. It was always based on a database of mountains or mountain peaks that qualify. We'll get to this later. So what mountain peak qualifies. And sometimes it even feels that the playing, we also get to this later, but just the playing feels a bit like cheating, because sometimes you get to a mountain peak, and if you've got a cell signal on the mountain peak and internet access, you can basically tell everyone in the world over the internet that you're on this mountain peak on this and this frequency, and they know.
Come get me, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You can even install an app on your phone and you will get a ping. That's what happened to me twice today. I got the ping, well, there is someone on a summit close to me, so I just switched to the correct frequency and talked to them. So it was never basically a ham radio only mode of communication. It always depended on the internet.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think that's yep.
No, cool. So what are the rules? Because there has to be rules.
Yes, there are rules. I mean, first you have to basically know what a SOTA summit is, or you have to define whether a summit, you can't just go to any summit that's on the map and say, well, I'm here, I'm playing SOTA. There are special summits that qualify, and they have to have a 150 meters prominence, which means it has, basically means around the mountain, it has to go down for 150 meters, 360 degrees. Otherwise, it doesn't count. So if you're on a mountain peak and it goes down like 50 meters, and then the next peak starts, and the next one is higher than the one you're on, the one you're on doesn't count.
Right. I remember seeing something about this. So presumably this is in a database somewhere, is it?
Yes, and nowadays, basically, to be able to participate in SOTA in a country, you have to have a local association for SOTA, for the country. And this association is in charge of defining what peaks are SOTA peaks and what peaks are not SOTA peaks. And of course, sometimes this changes because the data this is based on is sometimes not as accurate, and at the time more accurate data becomes available, people realize that, well, this peak was qualified as a SOTA peak but isn't qualified anymore. Okay. So it's removed, and of course the other way around. So, and these associations, they also define regions in the country and define numbers for the peaks. So basically every SOTA peak has a SOTA reference, which is the country association, which would be HB or Hotel Bravo in the case of Switzerland, or PA in your case, yeah. And then there is a slash, and then there is the region, which in Switzerland is the code for the canton, which is, for example, SZ in my case, in my area, or whatever canton. Basically the same letters we put on the car plate.
Yeah.
And then there is a dash in the number. And interestingly, in the Netherlands, there is only one region, and it's also called PA. So,
yeah, big surprise there. Yeah.
Yep.
We're flat. Rub it in. Why don't you?
Exactly. Well, but I mean, you can still get chaser points from the Netherlands on shortwave, because shortwave travels quite a distance. Yeah. And usually that's also the reference you give. If you make contact with someone, you give this. Of course, you usually also give the name of the peak, because people are more used to names than to this reference. But you also give the reference because that's what you need to enter a contact in the database.
And can you do this without entering a contact in the database? Say I was just at home and I happened to accidentally pick this up. Would that annoy people?
No, absolutely not. Because for you to get chaser points, you have to enter your contacts in the chaser part of the database. And to get activators points, you have to enter the contact in the activator part of the database. And as far as I see, those are more or less unconnected. So you get your activator points no matter what. All you need is a valid contact. Maybe we can mention right away what the valid contact means. I mean, there are no strict rules. Basically, of course, the contact has to go in both directions. So if I just hear someone on the radio and they don't hear me, it doesn't count. And that's...
So under the general rules, you have simplex, direct QSOs, or using a satellite. Can you go through each of those?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a QSO is basically just for anyone who didn't do the ham license, QSO is basically just ham jargon for a connection. So when we say we do a QSO on the mountain, that's basically we just contacted someone, no matter what mode we use.
And you can't just go, how's it going there? You have to give your call sign, they have to give their call sign and location and whatever.
You have to give, the rules don't explicitly specify that you have to give your call sign, but they specify you have to keep to the rules of ham radio in a country, which right. In most country means you have to give your call sign.
Yeah.
And your connection has to be either a direct connection, meaning from radio to radio without a repeater
or something.
Repeater in the middle, yeah. Because there are repeaters on mountain peaks which would make this a lot easier. But
yeah.
because it's hard to reach a satellite, it's basically restricted to terrestrial repeaters. You're allowed to do a contact over a satellite because that's even more difficult than a direct contact.
Yeah. And by simplex, you mean what?
Simplex basically means just a direct connection. Simplex means on the same, you send and receive on the same frequency. Which is something you usually do when you contact someone on their personal radio. When you contact someone over a repeater, you use a different transmit and receive.
Frequency. Except for satellites, you're going to have two different frequencies there by definition. Okay.
How is it different for satellites?
They're going to have a send and receive frequency. Yeah. So
yeah. So, but that's the same.
That's just the nature of satellites.
Yeah. But that's with every repeater, right?
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't work otherwise.
Coolio.
Yeah.
And you have a section here for points. So presumably you just don't want to climb a mountain for no reason. So you get points for going up on the summit.
Yes, exactly. And
you enter them on the database.
I think I skipped one thing when we talked about what's a valid connection. There is one thing, apart from just giving your call sign, there is one thing that's, well, it's not required, but it's customary to give someone a signal report. How you get their signal, the quality of their signal. Basically. And there's two numbers. One number is how well you're able to understand them, which is between 1 and 5. 5 is perfectly clear, and 1 is you don't understand a word, you just get like white noise. Of course, a 1 is not something you can realistically give someone as the first number. And the second number is the S level from the radio, AS. That's basically per S level, that's 6 decibel, I think. Yeah. And usually the radio just shows you a number between 1 and 9, and that's the second number you give them. So they know how well they get to you and you know how well you get to them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you'll more usually hear people talk about 5 and 9, your signal's 5 and 9.
Yes, exactly.
And then there's an extra one you mostly hear. Yeah. Somebody wants to do a show on this particular segment. It's the signal quality thing is a question in itself on the HARIC exam. And then CW has an extra one, which is 5, 9 and then 1 to 9 for tone, is it? Or is it 1 to 5? I'm not sure. I'll research that before I do that show. Okay.
But the third number is something I don't usually use because I don't speak CB or CW.
Yeah. Yet.
I'm not sure whether this is something I'm going to learn. I mean, Well, maybe at some point, maybe yes. Okay.
So, what is an activator?
I think we already mentioned what an activator is in the beginning, but we didn't mention that why you would even do this. I mean, of course. You do this because it's fun. You don't get anything else except for the fun of it, and you get points. You can do nothing with the points except get awards, and you can do nothing with awards except
the credit and attitude of your friends and peers.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and basically, to be an activator, what we didn't mention yet is there are some more precise rules how you have to get to the top of the peak. One thing is you have to use either a non-motorized bike, a animal transport, or walk up there. At least
a non-motorized bike.
Yes, any non-motorized transport counts. I mean, an animal doesn't count as motorized.
And what about if you're mobility thingied? If you have mobility issues, then are there exceptions for that?
I didn't see any, but honestly, I'm not sure whether in this case it's a lot of fun to be a activator in the SOTA game. I think you would rather go for a chaser anyway, because a lot of
modified wheelchairs that are built as tanks, that would be awesome, like on a 4x4 or something going up. Anyway, let's work on the assumption that if you're doing this, nobody's going to be checking. Yeah,
but it's an interesting question, honestly. I mean, there are mountain peaks that are perfectly reachable in an electric wheelchair, and yeah. I'm not sure whether this counts. It doesn't in the rule. It explicitly mentions non-motorized bike, but it doesn't specify whether a wheelchair would be allowed or not, a motorized one.
Yeah.
Okay, the second thing is you have to bring your power source with you. And I think the power source is also not allowed to be motorized, so it has to be a battery, not a generator. And it can't be a power source that's already available on the peak. So you have to bring your equipment and your own.
You have to be the mobile. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. The rules of this are a bit hardcore physical. I'm feeling this is actually just a get fit regime tidied up into ham radio or something.
I mean, to be honest, it specifies you have to walk the last part to the mountaintop. It doesn't specify how long this last part has to be. I mean, there are mountaintops in Switzerland where you can take a cable car basically next to the peak and then walk like 25 meters over to the peak and you're done, right?
So yeah. I think a lot of this, though, might be, let's call it cheating.
Yeah. Well, I think it's officially allowed to use a cable car or whatever mode of transport there is to get to the peak. You only have to walk the last couple of meters, and this is perfectly fine. Yeah, and then to make the QSO, you don't have to stand exactly on the peak, on the highest point. You have, but you can't be more than 25 meters below the highest point. So there is, on every summit, there is an activation zone. That's a zone that's like within 25 meters of altitude of the summit. And that's especially relevant if you want to do this on a peak where on the highest point there is a antenna for something, whatever, that that disturbs your signal, right?
Yeah, so that can often be the case. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So you want to walk away from this a couple of meters. Yeah, and then when you're up there, you start making contact, right? And the first when you do the first contact, the mountain counts or the summit counts as activated.
Yeah.
This is, you won't get any points for this, but that's relevant if you climb a mountain that has never been activated before. So you get right. to be the first activator, and you get, you're on the list as the first person who activated this summit. Apart from this, I don't see how it's relevant to do just one connection. And to get points, you have to do 4 QSOs from the summit.
And right, okay.
If you do 4 QSOs, you get a certain amount of points for a summit, which depends on the altitude of the summit. So the higher the mountain, presumably the harder to climb and the more points you get. And there is also a special bonus between November and somewhere in spring, a winter bonus of 3 points. The points for a summit are...
In the Northern Hemisphere, one can only imagine.
Yep. Well, you only get the winter bonus if the summit is higher than 1,500 meters. So you won't get a winter bonus in the Netherlands, I guess.
No, I think this whole thing is jigged against the Netherlands, to be honest.
I'm not sure, because it's actually very hard to be a chaser in my area, because I'm surrounded by mountains, and I get a lot of contacts from mountain peaks with people that live even in. At the moment, I only do this on the 2 meter and 70 centimeter band, because I'm not equipped for short wave. And I even get contacts from Germany and the flatter parts of Switzerland. But
yeah.
here I basically only get to the mountains that's around me or across the lake or something. So
It depends which side you are.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, to be an activator, it's... against the Netherlands, but I would expect it's easier to be a chaser in the Netherlands than around here.
Gotcha.
Yeah, okay. So we were talking about chasers, and chasers basically get the same amount of points that an activator gets for the peak. But it's basically... it's a separate account. It's counted separately. So you get chaser points and you get activator points. And when you get to 1,000, that's one of the global awards you can get. When you get to 1,000 activator points, you get a mountain goat. You can also get the second mountain.
A real mountain goat.
I'm
very disappointed.
Yeah, of course. And there are also other local awards. For example, in Switzerland, there is an award for a certain amount of cantons. If you did like 2 peaks in, I don't remember, 6, 10 cantons, then you can get an award. And there is also a chaser award, a global one for 1,000 points, which is called a shack sloth. So very different from being a mountain goat.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think we've already covered what a chaser is, or is there anything else you want to say about that?
No, there is not a hell lot to say about chasers, because all they do is sit in their homes. Of course, as a chaser, it's useful to have a more powerful antenna. And also a more powerful station to send, because then you get further, and the people on the mountaintop usually have like small antennas and small hand radios. So you have to make up for this.
And would a Yagi help? Should do that, actually, because you know where the mountain is. So.
If you, true. You see the if you see the spot on the internet, you see the post on the internet where the person is, you can turn your Yagi towards this mountain, and I would imagine this should help. Yes.
Cool. So, you've convinced me. I want to do this. Yes, nothing would give me greater joy than climbing up a mountain in the cold, lugging radios and batteries. What do I need?
Okay, first of all, you move to a different country. Okay, no, so just joking.
I come visit.
Yep.
I get a subscription to your local cable car company.
Exactly.
And then get a trolley.
Yep. No, basically, the first thing you need is you need accounts for Soda Watch, which is a platform run by the British Association. That's basically the global
the
coordination
it, I guess.
Organization. Sorry?
The ones who came up with it, yeah. So, are they the ones who invented this
thing? Oh, yeah, exactly. Yes. I'm not sure whether they're the same people still, but they're definitely the same organization. And Soda Watch is basically the platform where you post whether you planned. There are two different things you can do. You can either post that you plan to go to a peak at a certain day, or you can post that right now I'm on this peak. That's called a spot.
Yeah.
And the original idea of a spot was not that you go to a mountain, because in 2002 there was no mobile internet to post something from the top of a mountain, right? So the basic idea is that the first person who heard you on the airwaves basically went to his computer at home and did the spot.
So, is this only men, or can we have women and other people?
I think we can have women.
We can allow
women, but it's
so
very,
there, yes.
It's sadly it's very uncommon, and whenever there is a woman, no, not whenever, but usually when you hear a woman on a peak, then she's up there with her husband or partner. It's sad, but that's the way it is.
Yes, and we will endeavor to rectify this through our series of HBR.
Yes, exactly, because
broad audience of
because most of the HBR listeners are female, correct?
They're gender neutral, as we all know.
Oh yeah, okay.
We don't ask.
Yeah. Okay, so did I start? Yeah, the original idea of a spot was that someone else posts the spot on the internet because they heard you on the airwaves, on the radio, on a certain frequency, right? And nowadays you can, of course, do this yourself because you get internet access on the mountaintop. There is also a way to do a spot by a short SMS, short message on a phone. There are gateways that transfer the message. And the more interesting one is there are radios where you can also transmit a spot using APRS. APRS is short
it's
for... Sorry?
Go ahead, over.
It's short for Automated Package Reporting System, which is a way to report a digital package from your radio. It's usually used to transmit your GPS coordinates. That's why a lot of people assume that it's called Automated Position Reporting System, but it's actually Automated Package Reporting, and the package can contain anything. It can be a personal message to someone, or there are gateways, and it can be a SOTA spot where you just transmit, well, I'm there and there in this peak. Of course, you don't get a confirmation whether you reached whether your spot actually reached the internet.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And if you've got your account on SOTA Watch, it's basically a single sign-on. You also get an account for SOTA Data. That's the other part. That's a database where you enter your QSOs, either Chaser QSO or the Activator QSO. By the way, there is a third type of QSO, which also there is a separate list of points for this. And that's a summit-to-summit QSO. That's a QSO where you are actually Chaser and the Activator because you're on a different summit than the person you're talking to. And that's fun because then you know the other person you're talking to is on another mountain peak and you're here. Then you can talk about what's the weather like over there, what's the snow, and whatever.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah, that, I quite like this. When I first, the first time I did a SOTA activation, I actually had a summit-to-summit contact, and this was kind of interesting. I quite enjoyed talking to someone on another summit close by. Yeah. Well, then of course you need a or several radios. Usually, people who also activate in shortwave usually bring two radios. One. A shortwave radio. Most of the activations are done on the 20 meters and 40 meters band. Mm-hmm. And of course, some people just bring a small antenna, like one of the ones you just screw on top of the radio. And
yeah, okay, rubber ducky ones.
Yeah, even for shortwave. And some people bring like huge equipment with poles, and some people carry Yagis on top of the mountain. So everything can be done. And you also then of course you also bring a UHF VHF radio, just because usually the people in the area are easily contacted on this one.
Yeah.
And you can also use this one to do an APRS spot, and you can just use it, for example, also as a backup. I mean, if your shortwave station doesn't work, you still get your small handheld radio, and you can still get 4 QSOs.
Some contacts.
Yeah. You won't get like 20, 30, 40 contacts. I mean, some people do this. They just go to a mountaintop and spend like hours up there talking to people and come back with like 40 contacts, 40 QSOs. But you won't do this just on the 2 meter and 70 centimeter band.
So there's no difference between whether you're talking to Bob Dunn in the car park or you're talking to Jan the other side of the world. A contact is a contact.
Contact is a contact as long as it's not over a repeater, terrestrial repeater.
Yes.
Then, gotcha. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, of course, it's more interesting to talk to someone on the other end of the world than to just someone close by. But that's something I still have to experience because it's not exactly a hobby that's cheap, because radios are either expensive or heavy, right? And for the mountain peak, you don't want the heavy ones. And batteries is exactly the same. You don't want to carry a lead acid battery up the mountain. You want something small, light, and expensive. So you can spend a lot of money on playing this. Of course, you can also just get a cheap handheld, secondhand handheld radio and do everything on 2 meters and 70 centimeters.
Yeah.
I mean, some mountain peaks, especially within the Alps, don't work that way because you're so you're surrounded by other peaks. There is no way to get out on those bands. But for example, around here where I live, most peaks work also on the 2 meters and 70 centimeters band.
Yeah. Okay, clear. Excellent. So
is there anything I didn't cover? So
what's a spot idea?
You're the one who wants to start this. So do you have everything you need except the right country?
Well, the right country, the body, the desire to do it. This would be my personal idea of hell, having to slug up a mountain. But oddly enough, there are people I know who do enjoy sport, and I can definitely see that this has been something that would push all their sporty buttons as well as their technical hobby buttons as well. So this, again, why do you get into amateur radio is, you know, could very well be for this. How cool would it be?
Yeah, I mean, well, I didn't get into amateur radio for this. Why I got into amateur radio, you have to listen to the other episode, Ken and I.
Yes, exactly.
But I mean, I've been a mountaineer for years. I love climbing mountains. I love walking up mountains on my skis. And if you do this and you do an amateur radio license, that's SOTA is definitely something you want to try, because it's absolutely fun to combine those two hobbies, and it's absolutely fun to annoy all your friends, because now you have to spend like not only 10 minutes on the peak to eat a sandwich, you have to spend like 1 hour on the peak to make contact. Now, of course.
Obviously.
No, I've brought some friends with me, and they had to wait until I had my four QSOs, but they didn't mind yet. Might start at some point.
No, that's that was actually quite cool, because I had kind of heard about this in passing, but I'd never met somebody who was into it. So yeah, cool. Well, if anyone has any questions, you can add them to the comments of the show, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there are two ways to ask questions in HPR, either or make comments. Either you comment on the show, or you record a follow-up show for the same series.
Channeling your inner Ken there, good lad.
You should do, and I just said this that Ken doesn't have to, because he's the one saying this.
Absolutely brilliant. Benny, thank you very much for inviting me along on this, and I'm more than happy to do it in the future.
Great, and thank you for coming along and co-hosting this show and talking to me and asking some of the questions. It's always easier to talk to a person than to yourself. Okay, thank you.
Definitely. Do you want to do the traditional tune in tomorrow thing?
I think you have to do this, because I don't remember every part of it.
Contractually, it's a tradition. Tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Hacker
Public
Radio!
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR is kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.